I've been talking about running the race of life. And you know, we're all running, you know, and we've asked the question, you know, are you running the race God has called you to? And for some of us, we have to kind of wonder, you know, am I all the time or not? And I made the point that it's important for us to consciously be running the race that we've been called to by the Lord Jesus. And for us to consciously do that, that means that every single day we need to be asking the Lord to show the course that we've been called to run on a daily basis. You know, you can't just pray the day of salvation when you accepted Jesus. Okay, Jesus, just show me the rest of my life and I'll do it. It doesn't work that way. There's a part of me that wishes it did. You know, that the minute you accept Jesus, like a manual drops out of heaven, like poof. You know, and you can just, oh, page one, day one, this is what I do. Day two, how many people would like that? You know, that'd be kind of nice, right? But you know what? It doesn't work that way. Here's why. Our walk with Jesus has to be vibrant and real on a daily basis. Just because you had a victory last month or last year, maybe heard from Jesus back then, doesn't mean that you can coast for the rest of your life. Every single day is a battle for your soul. And that's what the Word of God says. That's not me saying that. And your soul is your mind, your way of thinking. So every day you have to resurrender. Doesn't mean get saved again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just commit that day to the Lord every single day. That's why His mercies are new every morning, because we get a restart. Sun comes up, it's like, Lord, I screwed up yesterday or last week or last year. Now, Lord, what are you calling me to do today? And you know what He says? I got a plan for you today. I've got a course set for you today. I have mile markers in the road of life that I will show you if you're willing to see them as you walk through this life, as you run or jog or however fast you want to move along. But God wants to reveal things to you, and it's good things, and it's part of the race that God's called you to. So we started a couple of weeks ago, and we made the point that our first run should be this. We need to run to the Father, right? That's where it starts, you know, salvation, accepting Him into your life. You got to get to the starting line. And that starting line is accepting Jesus into your life as personal Lord and Savior. I don't know everyone here. I don't know who's watching. I have no idea. But the point is, if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart as personal Lord and Savior, then you are not born again. It's not about coming to church or your parents are saved or some relative saved. That doesn't cut it. You personally have to accept the Lord. And it's not about joining a church or paying your tithes or doing anything like that. It's about confessing that you need to be saved, that you're not perfect, and you need help. How many people here have needed help in their life, all right? If all your hands aren't up, then I need to come and shake you awake, all right? Because the reality of it is we all need help, even after being a believer. But before we know Christ, that's actually the key point, is that we know in our hearts we're not good enough to get to heaven on our own merit, no matter how hard we try, and that we need Jesus to come into our life. That's why we have crosses everywhere. Cross here, cross outside, cross in the lobby. You know, they're everywhere. Why? It's to remind us that Jesus died on the cross. He's not there still, by the way, just so everyone can see. He's not there anymore. But that He has risen from the grave 3 days later, showing that He's made a way. He was, you know, here's what the scripture says, talking about the run theme. He was a forerunner and went on ahead of us to make a way for us. Wow. And all you have to do is confess that and believe that and accept Him into your heart. And then the Bible promises that you can get into the race that will take you all the way to eternity. And at the finish line, the Lord will be there to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the happiness of the Lord. How many people look forward to that finish line? But we're not there yet, are we? We're still breathing. That's when we breathe our last breath and we cross from this threshold of life into the next life, into all eternity. And so God has not just called us to run to Him, which is important, but now, last week we talked about we need to run with Him. The idea is that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us after we accept Jesus, and we're running with Him. We're not running in competition against your wife or your husband or other people. You know, they're running too. They're in their own race. But we're all called to run together with the Father, with the Holy Spirit guiding us on the inside. And my prayer is that each one of you know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, ask the Holy Spirit to speak louder, to give you bigger ears to hear, because He wants to talk to each and every one of us. And you might say, well, I got so many voices going on. Let me just give you just one thing, and then we're going to move on to some other things. It's not the voices up here. It's the one voice that comes from here. It's a different place. Comes from a different place. It's the only way I can describe it. And so ask the Lord. Say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. There's some really famous people in the Bible. Samuel, some other people did that. And guess what? God spoke to them. And I love the scriptures that say this, that God loves us all equally. So you can't say, well, of course God spoke to Samuel, or of course God spoke to the Apostle Paul. Listen to me. If God will speak to them, he loves you just as much, he will speak to you. Can you say amen to that? Okay, so we've been talking about running the race. So here's the theme today. We talked about running to the Father. We talked about running with the Father. Now the theme today is running with others. And so let me ask you this. If you were a famous athlete, you know, in any genre, you know, you could be any kind of athlete, what are some of the things that you would do or you would need? So I thought about this. One of the things you need is like exercise equipment, right? You know, you need certain kinds of exercise equipment you might need. If you're like a super famous athlete, what else do you need? Come on, everyone, it starts with S. What do you think you need? Shoes, yeah, you need shoes. But who provided those shoes? Sponsors, there you go. So you need sponsors, right? So a lot of athletes actually don't get paid very much for what they do, but who sponsors them? In fact, one of the players up here has, I think, Adidas or Nike shoes, nice-looking shoes. I wonder if they're being sponsored or not. I don't know, but wow, you know, nice-looking shoes. And so the point is that there's more to it than your natural gifting. In other words, there needs to be ways to enhance that. I remember going to school in my earlier days, and you'd see some of these kids that had this amazing natural talent, and they would run faster, do things better than anybody else. But I also noticed that those same kids, if they didn't develop that gift, slowly other kids who regimented themselves and disciplined themselves would surpass them. And so it's important to have another thing in your life if you're an athlete. And that's coaches, others in your life to be able to help you to run your race. You see, as good as you might be, as well equipped as you might be, we all need help. Now, can you run your race without any help? Yeah, and you might make it even to the finish line. But let me tell you something, it won't be the best race that you could have run. To run the best race you could have run, you need help. And you might think, well, you know, maybe I'm taking this and stretching this a little far, talking about running a physical race. What's this got to do with Jesus? And, well, it has a lot to do with Jesus. Let me share the scripture with you. There's a scripture found in Proverbs chapter 19. One verse. Chapter 19, verse 20. And it says this, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." That sounds like coaching to me. Listen to advice. In other words, are you hearing voices speak to you? Are you hearing input? And then not only that, are you accepting it? See, it's one thing, you know, if an athlete has a coach and a coach is saying, look, you need to do this or stop doing this, and that the athlete says, yeah, and doesn't change, is that going to help that athlete in any way? No, and so not only listen, but accept it. In other words, acknowledge it and then do it, right? That's what you got to do. And so why? So you'll gain wisdom in the future. In other words, to run your race of life better. And so for each one of us, it doesn't matter where we're in our walk. We could be a brand new baby believer. We should have coaches in our life. We could be one day from the finish line. In other words, you know, to enter into glory. We still need input into our lives. It doesn't matter where we are on this life journey. God wants to provide coaches to help you. Not so much to tell you what to do, but to help you where you are at this very moment. So I'm going to do something completely different than what we normally do. There's a person in my life that truly I respect as a father in the faith who has been a mentor not only to me, but to literally hundreds, if not thousands of other people, who has a very interesting perspective on this whole idea of coaching. Can I use a biblical word? Discipleship? That's a word that's not used much anymore. It's kind of gone out of vogue. But can I tell you something? When I say the word coach or mentor or life coach, this is really talking about discipleship, all right? Discipling and discipleship. So don't think that I'm going around this in any way. That is what it means. And what does the term disciple mean? It means a person that has disciplined themselves, according to the word, disciplined themselves to follow Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And we all need help. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't think you needed some help. So in a sense, what am I? You know, I am, in a sense, a life coach right here at this very moment, right? Discipling you, encouraging you in your walk with the Lord. So I've asked for another coach to come up to the area up here, to the stage, to share his input. So Dane Austin, you want to come forward? Let's put our hands together for him. He's going to be a blessing to you. It was an awesome time this morning. Amen.
Do I have to run?
It would have been more authentic if you ran up, but it's okay. It's all right.
I'm getting too old.
Amen. Amen. You know, the other cool thing is when I do these, I get to sit. You know, do you know that in the times of Jesus, when Jesus was on the earth, do you know who sat and who stood? Jesus sat, and the people that were there stood. I'm not going to make you do that, I promise, all right? So I don't want you to, next week, I'm not going back there, they'll make me stand. I'm not going to make you stand. Dane, good to see you here this morning. You know, this is an area that's unique to you. Why is this whole discipleship, you know, mentoring slash life coaching, whatever you want to call it, why is this important to you? Why do you care about it and are so passionate about it?
I didn't choose it. You know, it was something, I think what happened was a long time ago, right? I'm old. So a long time ago, I got saved, came out of a pretty bad life and got radically saved and fell in love with the Lord. And in a relationship with the Lord, He loves on you, and He loves on you like nothing else you can experience. If you've never had that, it's free, and it's available to everyone, right? You said something last week that was prophetic, which was, come as you are. You don't have to clean up to come to the Lord. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done. The Lord's there with open arms waiting for you. And so I had a guy lead me to the Lord many, 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 many years ago. And out of that love of the Lord, I just wanted to help people because He loved me so much, right? The Bible says, there's two things Jesus charges to do, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And there's a reason He gave them in that order, because if we know the Father's love, if we know the Father's love, we can't help but love the people around us. And so for me, because I came from such a place as this into a place of love with the Lord, and the Lord gave me mentors and life coaches, whatever you want to call them, gave me those all along the way in my life to pour into me, to encourage me, to build me up, to run the race. And so I just do it because that's what He gave me to do, and I love doing it. You know, the Bible says we're to bear fruit and bear fruit abundantly. Well, what's the fruit? Money? Bigger house? Nicer car? New York Giants winning a football game? That would be fruit. No, the fruit is what? It's people, right? It's people. It's people coming into a relationship with the Lord. That's what the fruit is. So that's what drives me, is the love of the Lord and how much the Lord has poured into me. Just give it out.
I know you had I think it was the man that led you to the Lord. You know, he just didn't kind of give birth to you and drop you on the sidewalk. You know, he played an instrumental role in this, didn't he?
Yeah. John Curry, so an old Scotsman Presbyterian pastor. Spirit-filled, right? How many Spirit-filled Presbyterian pastors do you ever know? But the guy was speaking in tongues from the time he was 4. He had a healing gift. Amazing guy. Super humble. And it was a small town I grew up in. Everybody knew everybody. And my dad died. That's what rattled my world. And old John Curry was doing the funeral. And at the graveside, when he was doing the whatever you do at the graveside thing. So there's 3 of us brothers. I'm the middle one. And John stood there. And, you know, John hears from the Lord. And I was not saved at all. And the Lord said to John, one of those boys will serve me all the days of his life. And John said he absolutely knew it was my brother Scott. And if not Scott, it would definitely be Eric. But it definitely would never be the middle one. That would be me. Not going to happen. And that's who the Lord chose. And John used to remind me of that just to keep me humble, that he wouldn't have picked me, but the Lord did. And John walked alongside me for a number of years and really poured a lot of love into me.
That's good.
Made a huge impact.
You know, the whole idea of, mentoring, life coaching, discipleship, it scares some of us. And I think part of the reason is we don't want to be told what to do. Is there anyone here that's, you don't want to be told what to do? Yeah, thank you for your hand, your honesty. You know, I'm one of those people. I don't like to be told what to do. And so it's out of my, it can't be in my flesh that I allow someone to disciple me. Yet, down on the inside, I know I need input. I know I'm not perfect. Anybody else here that way? You don't like being told what to do, but you know you need help. Now, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? But here's the reality of it. I think our understanding of what discipleship is a bit skewed. You know, I used to think that my job was to tell people what to do. And I have discovered that's actually not my job at all. And so I want to share a scripture, and then, Dane, I'm going to ask you to comment on that. They're going to put it up. It's Proverbs 20, verse 5. And it says this: the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so you want to take a few minutes and just comment on it to help us understand really the purpose of this whole mentoring, discipleship, life coaching is about.
Yeah, and I can tell you what it's not. It's not that you're there to fix somebody. It's not there to give them some brilliant answer. I mean, it doesn't matter what the problem is, right? It doesn't matter what your situation is, good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's horrible or whether it's terrific, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the question is, what's the answer? Jesus. Right? It is. And so as a mentor, right, and you're right, I mean, I've mentored, call it what you will, I've mentored a lot of people, and the answer is always the same answer. It's getting them closer to Jesus, helping them hear what the Lord would say to them, because what am I going to tell you something to straighten out your life? I don't, even if I know my kids, right? I raised my kids. I was there when they were born. And how much do I really know them, right? You don't, because who knows them? Who built them? Who put everything in them, right? Who knows their very thoughts? The Lord, right? So what am I going to fix them? No. The Lord can help them. Not up to me to judge them. Not up to me to fix them.
Yeah.
Just up to me to help them hear clearly from the Lord.
Yeah. I know you gave a great example at the first service of a lady that was in the throes of a decision. You want to share that story? I think that would help people to grasp what we're trying to say.
Yeah, we just had this week, somebody that we've been mentoring for a while. And so last week, of course it would happen last week, right, because I had a really important dinner meeting I had to go to down the city, and she texts me, it's 5 o'clock, I have to be over at the restaurant at 5:45. And she said, are you in the office, can I come and see you? And it's like, yeah, I have exactly 45 minutes that you can come in, right? And it's just the way it works. And so she beats feet, comes to the office, and I'm like, what's going on? Well, she's got to make a decision. And the decision is, she's got a job, she works for a church, but there's this other job that's come up, and they've made her the job offer, and should she take it? And she's like all over the map. She's giving me all these thoughts that are going through her head, right? And I'm sitting there listening to all this, like, I'm going to sort this mess out, right? I'm not even sure what all she told me, but she told me a lot of stuff. And I just kind of looked at her, and I said, well, when they made you the job offer, what did you hear inside here? And you said that earlier. It's not about up here. It's in here. I said, what'd you hear in here? She goes, take the job. I said, oh. I said, so what's all this stuff? Well, all this stuff is this, right? Our thoughts. And she's going on and on with a million things. She goes, well, I was thinking maybe I ought to take 2 more weeks and pray about it. I'm like, well, what's going to change in 2 weeks? And she looks at me, she goes, nothing. I said, that's right. So what'd you hear? She said, take the job. I just sat there. I went like this. She goes, so I'm going to take the job. And I'm like, good for you. So she talked to Kathy and I yesterday. We did a little conference call, and she's like happy as all get out because she's got the peace of God because she took the job. So what did I do? Did I give her any great, smart advice? No. What'd you hear from the Lord? And help her just peel back all the noise. And there's a lot of noise in life, right? Yep. A lot of noise. But what do we want to hear? That still, small voice that's right here.
That's good.
And that's all I did. Clear away the nonsense. She already knew the answer.
You know, obviously we've been talking a lot about how mentoring, discipleship, life coaching helps the person that's receiving it. What's this done to you or for you?
Changed me dramatically, I think, over the years. I think about it, and I don't get to pick who I mentor, right? The Lord just drops them in my path. And because if I was picking them, right, I'd pick a bunch of guys like me because it's easy, right? Grow up in a small town, do all the stuff I did, be a farm boy. We talk the same talk. We speak the language. Well, I'm allowed about two of those. I get all these other people, men, women, mentored people from every continent in the world, right? Cultures like you can't believe, right? And so the common theme in all of that is, so when I start to build relationships with these people, there's no difference. We're all made from the same stuff. And I have mentored homeless people on the streets of New York to billionaires, right? From people that can't get a job, people that have been in prison, people that are in prison, people that are CEOs of companies, and everybody in between. Married, divorced, four times divorced, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you do. We're made from the same stuff, and we have the struggles. You and I, given the same upbringing, the same situation, could end up in the same bad spot, right?
Yeah.
By the grace of God, we are where we are and who we are. And the more people I mentor, the more I see that this is about God's grace, and it's grace for everybody. Mm. And so how's it changed me? Basically, the older I get, the less I know, but the more I know Christ.
Yeah.
And that's it. Amen. That's all that matters is Christ. And it's not about how we look or what we do or what our house looks like or how much money we make or what our title is. None of it matters.
That's good.
None of it matters. And being with people, hearing their stories, seeing what they're doing, watching them learn to hear the voice of God in their heart is life-changing. So that has changed me dramatically, I will say.
It's good. It's good. So we live in a day and an age where anyone with a YouTube channel, a web camera, and a microphone could become an influencer. You know, everybody, you know, millions of people. You could turn your computer on, and all of a sudden, you got everybody's got something to say about something, and they claim they have the answer. In other words, there's a lot of people out there that want to be mentors, they want to be influencers, they want to be life coaches. But how can we, as believers in the Lord, find the right input, the right influencers in our life?
Number one, have a relationship with the Lord. If you don't have one, how do you start? Just say, hey, Lord, I'd like a relationship.
Yeah.
How complicated is that prayer, right? Not complicated. But in your relationship with the Lord, He will drop mentors in your path along the way. As we run this race, and I never got one that ran the whole race with me, there's all these different people the Lord has dropped in my life along the way because I needed this, and now I needed that, needed the other thing. And so I never had to look for them. If I focus on the Lord, He puts in my path everybody I need exactly when I need them. And only God can do that,
yeah,
right?
That's good.
And the flip side of that's the same way. How do I find people to mentor? I don't go looking for them. They just show up. And I was saying in the first service, it's kind of funny because the single most common line I've heard in all of my years of doing this is, hey, do you have a minute? And guess what? It's never a minute. And you know, my wife Kathy, most patient person in the whole world, because it'd be the end of the day at work and somebody comes in, hey, have you got a minute? Well, 3 hours later, as we're praying and they're giving their life to the Lord, I come home and she's like, so where were you? Eh, somebody stopped and asked me if I had a minute. And so I don't have to look for the people that mentor me, and I don't have to look for the people to mentor.
You know, I think I could speak for most people here, at least I can speak for myself, and some people may jump on the bandwagon with me, that, you know, I may see someone around me that I think I may be able to help. You know, I may be able to share my life with them and help them. But I look in the mirror and I'm like, if they knew my shortcomings, if they knew that I still haven't got it all together, if they only knew, they'd run from me, let alone hear anything from me. What do you want to say to an individual like that who feels called yet is still maybe struggling with some areas in their life?
Yeah, my favorite hymn is an old one called Amazing Grace. And what is it about Amazing Grace? What did it do? It saved a wretch like me, right? So we're sitting up here, and we've gotten to know each other, a couple of farm boys, and all the stuff we grew up with, and it's like God's grace saved a wretch like me. And so do we walk on water? No. If you put us out on this pond, we're going to be right in over our head in a minute.
I'm going to the bottom.
Yeah. And so it's not about you being squeaky clean. I'm very religious. I go to church, you know, five times a week. I do this, I do that. It's not about that. Because if it was, he wouldn't have me doing it, that's for sure. Because do I have my act all together? No. Nope. When will I? When I step into heaven. And along the way, I'm a work in progress. One thing I love about my wife, sort of, very humbling. And so my daughters, I had three daughters, and they were young, and they were thinking about when they grew up and who they'd marry, and they're talking to Kathy, and they say, hey, when we grow up, we want to marry a guy just like Dad. And she goes, no, you don't. And it's like, what? She goes, no, he's a work in progress. And you should have known him before you were born and when you were little. What you see now is not who he was. And I'm like, she goes, well, it's true. And the heck of it is true. Yeah. I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. So who are we to judge each other? Yeah. Right? If I come to Brian and I'm telling Brian whatever, and Brian's like, whoa, oh, what a loser you are. You should not even come into church, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? Brian's probably got his own stuff to deal with. Yeah. But who is he to judge me, or who am I to judge Brian, right? It's like, you did what? Are you kidding me? That's terrible. You're a terrible man. No, not the case at all. And so we judge not, lest we be judged. So you don't have to be squeaky clean. All you have to be is available. Hey, Lord, you want to use me? Drop somebody in my path. And they may ask you, hey, got a minute?
It might be more than a minute. You know, at the first service you shared, and this is, I think, a way to bring us to a conclusion, it's pretty a story of a person that you were mentoring that ran the marathon, the New York Marathon.
Yeah, you want to share
that story with us?
I love this story. So, it's a true story. I don't make this stuff up. So, anybody know how far a marathon is? 26 miles, 285 yards. Anybody ever run 26 miles, 285 yards? Show of hands? That would be none.
Over about 3 weeks. Over 3 weeks,
I know. Yeah, no, actually do it all at once. That's the goal. So I have a dear friend that I mentored, and at 40, you know, stuff happens at 40, right? At 40, he decides, and this is one of the most non-athletic guys I've ever known, and, you know, his idea of working out is picking up two pencils at the same time instead of one, right? So he decides at 40 years old, I think I'll run the New York City Marathon. I got a year to prepare. Oh, great. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to happen. So he joins some club that's going to whip you into shape in 12 months, and you can run the 26 miles, 285 yards. So God bless him. He gets down. He's got a couple of weeks before the marathon. He was actually able to run 20 miles. Got up on a Saturday morning. He ran 20 miles, and he did it twice in the month before the marathon. So he figured he was ready. How many know, I mean, probably not a lot of math majors here, but if you were, 26 miles is further than 20 miles, right? By about 6 miles, right? And so you got to run 26 miles. And so the day of the marathon happens, and he said, you can't believe it. He goes, the adrenaline rush you get, you go, there are thousands and thousands of people running this race. And so he's going to run the race. Takes off running. Running on adrenaline, crosses the Verrazano, heads into Brooklyn. Well, the streets where the marathon goes through are lined with spectators, right? You got thousands of spectators, probably millions of spectators. Well, he knows tons of people. He's from New York City. And so people all know that he's running. It's like, hey, you know, they're all yelling to him. So he runs over to this side of the street and high-fives some folks and then runs to that side of the street, high-fives some more people, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. How's this working out, right? And so he's running and running and running, and he's starting to get to the 20-mile point. He's realized he's going to run out of gas. Anybody ever see what happens when somebody really runs out of gas when they're doing these long runs? How they start to do the funky chicken run, and then they just fall over, right? And he realizes this is going to be a total embarrassment because he's out of gas. He burned all his gas over in Brooklyn doing the high five side-to-side thing, right? And so he's running along. But it was interesting because with about 5 or 6 miles to go, a lot of his friends were there. They were there to cheer him on. And they're calling him by name, and they're telling him, you can do it, you can do it. Well, it did. It carried him for a while. But he gets to a mile and a half, and he's going to start doing the funky chicken, right? It's going to happen, and it's going to be ugly. And what happens? Two of his friends were there at the mile and a half point. They jumped in the race. Jumped in the race, ran alongside him, encouraging him. You can do this. You can do this. Literally upholding the guy with their encouraging words. And you know what? He finished that race. 26 miles, 285 yards. And his testimony is the only way he did it is people, when things got ugly, people were right there with him, encouraging him. And that's what we do. That's what we do in these mentorships, these relationships, yeah, these good discipleship things. We encourage each other because things will get ugly, right? It's life. It's the roller coaster of life. And when things get ugly, you don't abandon the people the Lord gives you. You walk with them. You encourage them.
Amen.
And you build it up that we all will finish the race.
Amen. You know, we made the point that this is all about Jesus. And let me just give you a concluding scripture, something to take home. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And it says this, "So we continue to preach, to proclaim, to announce Christ to each person, using all wisdom to warn, instruct, admonish, and to teach everyone in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature person in Christ." Listen to me, church. This is what the race is all about. The race that I'm talking about is not some natural finish line somewhere in the New York State Marathon, New York City Marathon. That's not the kind of finish line I'm looking towards. This is a spiritual finish line, but our job is to come alongside those around us to help them into the presence of Jesus. That's the race you and I have been called to. That's the race that we've been called to help others find as well. And so my question to you this very morning is this: where are you in all of this? You know, is God calling you to mentor, to disciple someone? And you've put it off, you've pushed it away because you think you're maybe not qualified, you're not able, maybe you don't want to take the time. A lot of different reasons why. But God is calling you to it. Listen to me, you need to make a decision. Go with the voice down in your heart that says, do it. Don't go with your head, go with your heart. And there's some of you here as well that you've been running the race in your own strength, under your own gas, so to speak, and you're run out of gas. You feel burned out. You're like at a place where you just want to fall on the side of the road and just not carry on any longer. Listen, you need some help. And maybe it's time that you asked for some. That's what the body of Christ is for. That's why, you know, let me just give you an example. Why do you think we give you food out there after service? Why do you think I just want to feed you? To be honest with you, that doesn't matter to me at all. We do hospitality to allow you to stay here for a little while longer, that you might connect in community and receive some mentoring, receive some love, receive some compassion, receive some help along the road of life. That's why we do that. You may wonder why we do some of the things that we do, but we do it to help bring people to Jesus and help them in their life walk. So let's stand together. So as you're thinking about this, you're in one of two places, or maybe you're a little bit of both. You know, God's calling you to help someone, but you know you need help too. I dare say for most of us, that's who we are. If I, Here, my hand goes up saying that I'm one of those people. Is there anyone else here that you need help or you want to give help? Just put your hand up. Amen. I'm going to ask Dane to pray as we close, all right? Go ahead.
Lord, you see every hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Even the hands that aren't raised, Lord.
Jesus.
But in their heart, they're crying out, Lord. They're crying out to
Jesus.
You.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, they need somebody to come alongside to encourage. Or they've got so much love in them, Lord. They want to pour that out. They want to bear fruit.
They want to
help those people around them. Just don't know how to do it or who to do it with. And so, Holy Spirit, go now. Go.
Yes.
Touch this year, people. Each and every one. If they need to be mentored, Lord, give them a mentor. If they need to mentor somebody, show them who it is, Lord. And let your Holy Spirit lead and guide and empower them, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And for all those, Lord, that are crying out to you in their heart right now for the first time, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my life.
Jesus.
I surrender it all to you. Lord, you hear their hearts. So, Lord, seal this with your Holy Spirit. Pour out in this place. Bless this your people. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.